Grace is yours and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, which serves as our text, is our gospel reading from this day, recorded in Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. In Christ Jesus, who sends out the 12 into his harvest field, dear fellow redeemed, I count it one of the great privileges in my ministry to be able to participate in the assigning of new called workers to their first field of service. It is such a joy to see and hear the excitement of those young Christians as they receive a divine call and discover where it is that they will be serving in public ministry. Every year, soon after those assignments are made, I have the opportunity to meet with the called workers newly assigned to our northern Wisconsin district of Wells. This year at the seminary, 5 men were assigned to our district. 4 of them will serve right here in Wisconsin. And one of them, Pastor Mark Zondag, will use our district and, in fact, our congregation as his home base, if you will, as he and his wife Sarah and their 2 children prepare to head for Thailand, where Mark will serve as a world missionary on our Asia One team, a mission effort overseen by our own Pastor Rosh. As I say, at the seminary, I get to meet with these men and their wives. I usually begin with a few general instructions for the group, and then I make the rounds, visiting with each couple for a few minutes, sharing with them the details of their call, explaining to them that the congregation has a parsonage for them or that they're expected to purchase a home. It's always a fun conversation to see the wheels begin to turn and the couple thinking out loud of the things they're going to need to buy to set up housekeeping. But this year, when I got to the Zondags, they were having a very different conversation. They were excited, to be sure, but they were talking about the things that they would be selling or putting into long-term storage as they prepared to head overseas. They won't take a car or living room furniture or even a bedroom set. It's not that they'll live in poverty. They're just going to have to wait to get those things in the place where they'll be living. For now, they will be traveling very light. A thought which reminded me of the message that Jesus has for them and for all of us in our gospel reading for today. This message: missionary, travel light with Jesus. In his name, with his message, to his glory. Our text begins with these words. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over impure spirits. 2 by 2. Missionaries need encouragement. Jesus sends out the 12 in pairs, knowing that the members of each 2-man team will be there to encourage one another. And then he gives those men authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal the sick. Why would he do that? Well, missionaries who hope to accomplish their mission need to be credible. They need to be men of good reputation. They dare not be thought of as con artists. Jesus is not sending these men out with the heavy responsibility of establishing their own credibility. No, these men will get to travel light. They will go in Jesus' name. Understand that for about the last year and a half, Jesus himself has been carrying out ministry. He's become known to the masses as the one proclaiming the coming kingdom of God. And so that the people will know that he is who he claims to be, God's own son, Jesus has been driving out demons. He's been healing the sick, even raising the dead. By giving authority to his disciples to do these same things, he's in effect providing them with their calling card. People will recognize them as ambassadors of Christ. People who will see that the disciples are speaking for Jesus and doing what Jesus does. To this day, our Savior does the same thing for his church. We read in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You recognize those familiar words? With them, Jesus is commissioning us, the members of his church, together with our called workers, to serve as his missionaries in this world. "Go," he says to you and me, as he sends us in his name. By the way, our English word missionary means one who is sent out. By his authority as the one true God, Jesus sends us out in his name to do the sorts of things that he does. By his authority, we go. And so we need not carry any other credentials. We get to travel light. We go as servants of the Most High God. Now, does Jesus give us authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal the sick? Well, he can. But generally speaking, he doesn't. Remember, Jesus did those things in order to introduce himself and his mission to people at a time before his church even came into existence on that first Pentecost. This was the way of learning about Jesus. But such introductions are no longer necessary. The Savior's church has long been established. And while people do not know the teachings of Christianity, most people in our world do not know the teachings of Christianity. They recognize Christianity to be a major religion. They know what Christian missionaries are. Still, wouldn't it be nice to tap into the love and power of our Savior and with these at the ready do great things for people who are hurting and suffering? Well, we can. We do. In fact, by his authority, Jesus allows us to participate in the greatest miracle of all times. He says to all of his disciples, including all of us in John chapter 20, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Wow. Talk about authority and miracles. In Jesus' name, you and I forgive sins, just as Jesus does. Now, how do we do that? With the twitch of a nose or the snap of a finger? No, it's not magic. It's a miracle worked through the mighty preaching of the gospel in word and sacrament. It's fantastic. When we missionaries go out in Jesus' name, we don't need to lug behind us a suitcase full of doctrinal dissertations or travel with a library full of Christian books. We go light with Jesus. We share his message. A message that is so simple and yet is packed with the very power of God. A message that transcends language and culture. A message meant for the people of Appleton and the people of Asia, all people of all places and all times. And what's the message? Well, Mark tells us that the 12 went out and preached that the people should repent. And in his gospel account of this same event, Luke adds, Jesus sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. The message is simple, but that doesn't mean it's easy to hear. Telling people they should repent means using God's commandments to show people that they are hell-bound sinners who can do nothing whatsoever to help themselves into heaven. The commandments affirm that the conscience that troubles them has not been lying to them, that the guilt that they carry is real and heavier than they could possibly imagine, and that the fear they feel toward God is the product of their own sinfulness that separates them from God's holiness. The message is hard. It's damning. But thanks be to God, the message does not end with the commandments. We don't stop there. We get to go on and tell the greatest, happiest news there is. Yes, we talk about repentance, acknowledging sin. But repentance has built into it the idea of turning away from sin to Christ in faith. Proclaiming God's kingdom means telling everyone what God's grace has accomplished for them, for all sinners. In love we don't deserve, God sent Jesus to claim the baggage of our sin as his own. He sent Jesus to carry that sin guilt of ours to the cross, and then in our place be crushed beneath the weight of God's anger until all that sin has been paid. In love we'll never earn, Jesus took it all, suffered it all as our substitute, and then 3 days later rose from the dead to prove that we are now forever free from sin's power and guilt and curse. Because Jesus lives, we live forever at peace with God in his gracious care and keeping. This is the news we share. A simple message. This is the message the 12 were to share with their words and also by their actions, which helps to explain these instructions of Jesus. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts, wear sandals, not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. What is that all about? Well, those who tell others to trust in God alone must themselves trust in God alone so that they do not cause people to doubt the message. The 12 will not be taking with them a semi-load full of supplies as they travel on their missionary journeys. They will go trusting that Jesus will supply all their needs of body and soul. And he will do that, in part through the generosity of those who hear and receive that message. That's why Jesus tells them, when someone welcomes you in my name, stay put. Don't leave that place. If and when an offer of better accommodations comes along from somebody with more money or higher standing in the community. No. Let your actions complement your message. Make sure the two match up. It is just as important today that we modern missionaries be so careful that we do not put stumbling blocks in front of the people we hope to serve with the gospel. When we tell people that they can count on Jesus for everything, how confusing it would be if we spend our time fretting about the fact that we don't think we have enough money, or that our health should be better, or that we need more friends. If we tell people that Jesus is everything to us, how perplexing if we spend our days chasing after the treasures and pleasures of this world instead. And how frustrating If we say that Jesus is Savior of all and then share the gospel only with those who look and talk like we do, what should people make of that? That we're hypocrites? Quite possibly. Far worse, they might decide that our message is worthless and so remain lost to Jesus who loves them so. I know I've been telling you to travel light, and yet I suspect these last thoughts may be a bit too heavy to bear. How can we, sinners that we are, hope to be perfect missionaries whose words and actions always match up to Christ and his gospel? Well, the truth is we can't. We aren't. We won't be perfect. So should we quit? No. Instead, we'll practice what we preach. Repentance. When we sin, we'll see and acknowledge that sin before God and neighbor. We'll carry that burden to the cross, and there we'll have that free and full forgiveness of our Savior. Relieved of our guilt and our fear, so grateful for Jesus and what he's done for us, then we'll go back at it. To the next needy soul, and the next, and the next, and the next. But what if through no fault of our own, those people won't listen to us? Well, Jesus has something to say about that too. He says, and if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Maybe to our Western ears, Jesus' words sound a little harsh. But you must know that the one who died to save sinners is not about to turn his back on them as long as they have life and breath. Jesus is simply communicating a fact of mission work. When the gospel seed has been planted and there is no immediate fruit for the missionary to tend to, the missionary needs to move on. There are so many lost souls to reach and only so much time in which to reach them. But they're not shutting the door on the people they leave. That shaking off of the dust, that's a loving warning. In effect, the missionaries are saying to those people, we came to you with everlasting life. We want and are taking nothing from you, not even your dust. Our motives are pure. And our message is the difference between life and death. Think about that, please. That's all we missionaries can do. It's not our job to make believers out of people. That's God's work. He'll do the heavy lifting. We get to travel light with Jesus to his glory. And by that, I simply mean that whatever happens in the mission field, when we speak the gospel of Jesus, his purpose is served and his name is honored. What comes next is up to him. What do you suppose he'll do? Mark tells us what he did for the 12. They preached that message of repentance. And Mark says the 12 drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. In other words, Jesus blessed their work. He'll bless your work too, because it pleases him to do so. Remember, he gave himself to rescue sinners, all sinners. He wants all to be saved, and so he sends us all on a mission journey. He wants all people to believe. And so he puts in our hands a gospel message that is so powerful that it has saved even us, stubborn sinners that we are. There is nothing in all the earth or even in hell itself that will stop Jesus from blessing the message you share in his name. So go, dear missionary. Travel light with Jesus. In his name. With his message. And always to his glory. Amen. Please stand.
Hey, thank you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or over on Spotify, subscribe to get sermon podcasts weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.